So, hi Christine, thanks for allowing me to record this for learning purposes. So,
Thank you so much.
we just had a quick chat about downward dog and yoga and washing your hands.
Indeed, indeed, those are the habits I'm taking with the COVID, what I'm learning from COVID. And the more and more I recognize how many good things I have picked up with this situation of more maybe taking care more of myself and to understand that small things matters, you know, like the small tiny things that can help instead of like planning I need to run and do 2 hours yoga and so on. Then let's start with small things so it doesn't become too big.
That sounds like a really good realization.
Yeah.
How does that support you?
I think it supports a lot. It helps a lot to not put so much stress. Maybe this stress, not stress, but the expectation to do so much, which is always has been my problem and problem, or that I have, like we discussed it, that I book too much, I do too much, and this is a little bit where maybe the little things that can help. And since our talk, I've been deleting so much. So I keep what really matters more. And that is helping me much better. Because one topic I thought I would discuss with you today, it's this constant anxiety, this feeling of anxiety that comes. It's like the kids before school, you know, on Sunday evening, you always got that anxiety that Monday it's the school day. But that anxiety never left me. So it's like I still get that. But right now, maybe with small habits, how to deal with that anxiety. I think I'm learning a lot how to cope with it. And maybe I could learn more how to process it, touch it. So it does not become, I can deal with it easier than I used to do, because it is very visible on me, you know, like how it affects me, my temper, my way of acting, my lack of tolerance. So it becomes very tangible, this anxiety, and it's maybe those tiny habits, can I learn more of them to cope with that?
Yeah, that's a great topic. And your self-awareness always is evident. And if you didn't have this anxiety anymore, what would you have instead?
I would have more calm, dealing with things in a more with perspective level, you know, taking perspective, having more perspective on things, and approaching things more like as a feasible rather than impossible, you know.
What's the feeling difference that you're seeking from anxiety to what? Is it calm or something else?
One is confident, maybe. It confidence ring the bell of that it will be all right or it will be okay.
So is that what's happening? Is the anxiety has a feeling of not being okay or not feeling confident?
It's more the this is sometimes I try to it has been like more a couple of days I start like, okay, why do I feel that? I go down to it, why do I feel it? What is it coming from? So it's more to identify it sometimes it's out of insecurity, maybe of maybe how will the week will go, or how that situation will go with my daughter, or at home, or whatever. It could be that kind of anxiety. Or, you know, this is more where I look for confidence. It's more like, okay, be confident, be assured, maybe, that it will turn right, or you will be able to handle it.
So there's something about being assured, feeling confident and calm to deal with the insecurity you may feel about things that are coming up. It doesn't sound like it's present. It's about things future. That you think, or is it the present as well?
Correct.
It's the future.
I think it's, I always tend to project. I always tend to, and then maybe this is something that the anxiety, you know, where I don't know if it's, but it's more, what will happen next? Will I be able to do that? Or instead of seeing the present much more in the moment. And it could be the future. It could be 2 days. It could be 1 week. It's not like the future of life, you know. It's not that, not that projection, maybe. It's more the ability to cope with the near future.
So it sounds like some clarity here. How would you now describe what you want to be able to take away from this session?
If I would say that I will, how to deal with the anxiety so it does not cripple me, it does not affect me much, and try to learn some maybe tricks to, or not, a coping mechanism that will help me out with how to deal with it when it happens, because it's physically, I feel it, it's, you know, it's like I get the this feeling of suffocating, you know, up in the throat. And 2 days ago, you know, at 8 o'clock, I just went out and I took a walk, and just because I said I can't handle it anymore at home, it's too much, and those kind of element to see. But I never get to the point where, how can I calm it down? And I try to cope with it, maybe, but maybe the question that you asked me is very important, very, now that I think about, is more calming it down so it does not get to the suffocating stage.
Yes, that's a good distinction. So there's something deeper you want to explore so that it doesn't get to the suffocating, that you still have some ways to deal with it, but maybe that it's not crippling.
Yeah.
Is the word you used.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll check in with your level of calm, if you like. Is that a good way to... As we go through this session, if when you think about anxiety, if you're feeling more calm, or what's a good way to check in with you on?
If I feel, you know, if I feel more like getting out of breath, you know, maybe this is one way to check in. You know, even talking about it is heavy. It's not a fun feeling to talk about, because I know it had the impact of it. Did I answer your question?
Yes. So there's something about your breath and the feeling in your body.
Yeah.
And how you can you feel now what it feels like or not? Is it present?
It's in the throat. It's there, and it's it's not that intense though. But it's, you know, I could feel it.
Let's use that then for you and me to check in on, maybe do more intentional body checking today.
Yeah.
Because that's you brought that up a number of times, suffocating. I mean, I'm finding myself having a bit of a hard time breathing just saying that. Just where it's feeling, how the feeling is in your chest, your throat. And we'll see what happens. How does that sound?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So where would you like to explore?
When it happens, or maybe understanding how can I get into the point where the moment I start feeling it, maybe I start to, at the early stage, to just process it very early, or to see that, okay, I know that maybe on Sunday evening I get completely worked out because it's like there is a lot to be done before I go to bed and I need to go to bed early and I need help and nobody helps me. So it becomes, maybe I should know ahead in those cases, what shall I do on Sunday evening before I get into this pattern of being anxious about next week and what shall I do and how should I plan it, etc. So maybe this is something that I could, but this is something I know ahead. This is the pattern I know I have been in. But when it comes to the fact that, for example, it happens and I have no clue why am I anxious? You know, it reached the point where it's there and then I need to start process it. And I think there is a distinction between those two, because the if I know my pattern, then I can work with it. But the other one, when I really maybe haven't analyzed it or haven't touched it enough to understand how can I deal with it when it happens.
Well, one sounds like you already have a strategy for. So are you implementing that, the Sunday night strategy or whatever you want to call it?
No. This came to my realization that I have that, and this last week it came to the realization that okay, I understood what happens now clearly, and then I got the help needed and then it was much better. So it gets to the point where I it just like clicked, okay, now that I understand it much better, why am I working myself out on that day? But then for the rest of the days, I don't know. I just come there and then it becomes more difficult to breathe. And then it becomes more like, okay, I get into the point where I just... I can't do much more, that it's just holding on to it, but not like being able to deal with it fast.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first one you said, you've mentioned again, support, that more than once already today. There's something about feeling supported or needing support or asking for support. That seems to be part of one part of managing or preparing for what you know may be causing some of the anxiety. Is that the correct way to put it?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Very correct. It's to ask for support. It's to check out or to seek for it, which I normally don't do it very well in those, because I get into the point where it's already at a point where I'm beyond asking for support. I manage on my own because I'm already at a point where my tolerance is hard. So asking for support at that point is more like demanding. You do this, you do that, you do that, but without explaining why I do it this way. So it becomes like a nasty person getting into a mood where now giving orders to do all what needs to be done, but I never ask the right way, that maybe that will help me to ease off things and to ease it off instead of ending in the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there seems like a number of places to explore. So let me ask you, there's the something about how you ask and when you ask for support, recognizing when you are going down that line of thinking that is going to end up in that state, seems like another place. And then the other one you talked about was when it just happens and you don't understand why.
Mm.
There's sort of different scenarios. Do you see an underlying theme or are they different?
I think the first two are more similar. I see that when, how do I ask and when do I ask for support, and I recognize that, that's one. But then that's more connected. But then the third one, when it happens, and there it's like, it just comes. Of course, there are things why, but it's many times like, okay, I feel very bad. I feel anxious, but I don't know why. And I start to process, okay, is that annoying you? Is that annoying you? Is that annoying? You know, it's like you start with, by elimination.
Mm-hmm.
To work on things. So the first two are more connected. But this one is more standalone.
Which one?
The last one, when it happens and don't know why.
All right. How would you like to explore that? Oh, you and I just both took a sip. What was happening in your throat? Because I took a drink as well. What happened for you?
It got dry. I would like to explore when it happens and I don't know why. And where to start?
Can I just ask you about, is that a symbol? So you just got a dry throat.
Mm.
Are you aware when you're feeling anxious in the moment of what's happening in your throat or body or not?
I think I'm aware of when it happens. Maybe it's not the what takes me there, but it's maybe gradually a little bit. But like I don't pay attention when I start to become maybe dry in my throat, and I'm not that aware maybe at that point. But I'm aware when it becomes like more the stomach ache or this feeling of inability to breathe with that when it comes to the anxiety. So the build up of it can be very, maybe I don't pay attention to the build up, but when it strikes, it's there.
Mm. I don't know whether we caught this on the recording at the beginning, but it reminds me of something you said just when we started this session about the downward dog and the course with Celine and being able to, every time you wash your hands, do a downward dog.
Yeah.
And there was something about being able to do that small thing that made a difference to how you felt in your body.
Correct.
What could be the relationship or the learning here for what you've just said about your throat or your body that could be supportive of this uncovering?
Is to recognize, is there something tiny that I could do when this happens? You know, before, you know, what is it that I can, what will it help me to start working with it or to start addressing it? And I don't know if there is a habit I can pick up, or there is something that I could directly do is either, I don't know, go on the balcony and be there a little bit, take 5 minutes break from everything, or, you know, just to break that pattern, instead, you know, when it happens.
Mm-hmm. What's the signal in your body that would tell you you need to take a break?
Lack of focus, and tolerance, very low tolerance level, and impatience, which is tolerance. Maybe
what's the body-mind connection there? And if there isn't one, that's okay.
I think the body-mind is the start to be restless, you know, start to be restless, and because you cannot, for me, this is what, how I see it, you know, I start become very active in the moment, you know, it's like you go everywhere in that moment and don't know what to do, you know, it's like that kind of aspect.
So if you're writing yourself a checklist of what to notice in yourself, what would be some of the things you would now go, oh, that's something to pay attention to, that small thing?
It's the restless, is to ability, you know, the not knowing what I want, you know, like the running back and forth to not able to the lack of focus, you know, just to and in one way the mood that goes completely down south, you know, it's just like completely flat on energy.
So your energy goes down south
and I keep on moving.
And you keep moving your body?
Yes.
And your mind is doing something as well.
Yeah.
What sort of things can you remember your mind says to you?
My mind says you're exhausted. Stop it. And then, you know, it's like the body said, like, you're not doing enough. It's not enough. You know, you need to move on. You need to get it over and done. But the mind, exactly like you're exhausted. You're tired.
They sound some pretty clear signals between something that happens in your mind, what's happening with your body, what's happening potentially in your breath or your throat, and you're exhausted. There's a message there.
Yeah.
How does exhaustion relate to having anxiety for you?
It just bring my, I become like not, not the person I am. You know, it's like it brings me to the, you know, it's more like paralyzing rather than, you know, being sharp, being fun, being, you know, like, you know, being, yeah, let's go and, you know, watch a movie with the kid. You know, it's like it becomes more like, more dragging me down. Mm-hmm. It's like ability to move, you know, to move your head up or to just go to bed and just lie down and do nothing.
What are you realizing, if anything?
I'm realizing the connections, you know, it's like it's clear when it happens and what happens when it's happening, you know, that to read those signals. Maybe this is more becoming aware of them. And what happens in my, you know, in my mind and in my body in this case.
How are you feeling about your progress so far around understanding some of the reasons how to deal with the anxiety?
I think I understand right now much better the what it triggers in me, you know, the how it affects the body and the mind. And the connection between them. So how can, you know, it's like, then I know what to interpret it. Then you don't beat yourself up while you're tired. So it helps me to understand this is triggered by the fact, how am I feeling? But maybe the question is that, how can I stop that feeling from, maybe stop, it's going to be, or maybe cope with that feeling more in a better way. So it's like the symptoms, I understand them much clearer right now.
What is the signal that is, what is your body needing versus what is it, what do you need to stop and cope with?
The body need maybe rest. Or being taken care of more, you know, like own... it's like either it's the me time or it's and specifically right now I feel like the days I don't exercise, it's not the good day.
Yeah, you're very physical. You mentioned you love running, you love yoga as well. You know, physicality could be a very key thing here.
Exactly. And that I have never recognized that, you know, normally I said that, you know, you have a buffer, you know, you trained it one day, I rest one day, and then that I could live with this buffer of I moved, I have, it gives me a lot of energy, but right now I don't have it. It became more clear, obvious for me that I need to do it every day to get that energy going, or to get that breathing out the things that annoys me. And that's why maybe the down dog helps me out, that to keep this going the whole day. Yeah. And that I'm the physically, I don't know, maybe right now, what you mentioned exactly, the question you asked me, I found that there is extremely higher link connection between the body and the mind right now than it used to be maybe before. And I don't know why this is it, or this became like that.
My sense is it's always been there. You're just maybe more aware of it and paying more attention, or that's just my sense anyway.
Yeah.
What's the downward dog equivalent of paying attention to what your body needs every day? Or your mind needs every day.
It's this moment, this space of calmness, maybe of stillness, to go into that space of being still. Don't think about anything else but what you're doing, you know, pushing your back and get a good posture. And I think this is something I feel it's providing me, or it's that that moment, what it gives me. It gives me this stillness and still strengths, building strengths by being still.
Building strengths by being still. What does that mean?
Building strengths in the muscles, you know, what helped me to stay like this and to keep me, you know, having, you know, like stretch myself by the moment where you don't move, you know, you stay in the movement, you stay in the move, and you don't start moving your legs or your knees or something like that. So I think this moment of stillness helps me, and by that I am, you know, I strengthen my muscles, or I help my back. You know, it's like you strengthen a lot of muscles when you do it.
The moment of stillness, how what's happening in your throat or chest?
It's a beautiful. It's a very helpful moment of stillness. You know, it's just like it gives the space, more space in my lungs or in my body. It helps out for more space to think, or more space to breathe, or yeah.
How's your breath right now?
Much better.
In what way?
It's not dry, and it's open. It has space in it.
What has space? Your throat or what?
In my throat, you know, that it's not like contracting. It's just decontracted.
What caused the shift?
I think to talk about the stillness and that moment of when I feel good, or when I feel I'm taking that time for me, maybe, or I'm doing something that I like to do as well, and I don't get to do all the time, maybe.
Mm-hmm. What are the things you like to do and don't get to do?
Get more time for me, you know, more time where I listen, you know, it's I'm doing things I really like to do, and that is hard. And maybe the moment where I don't hear anything around me, you know, the moment I'm just in the moment, not hearing anything. Or I love the late evenings here because there's still light, you know, 10:30, you know, you still have full sunshine and light. And then when I stand on the balcony, I just like nature, you know, you only hear, you still hear the birds, which is amazing. I think this is the moments where I feel, you know, I would need more of, without feeling exhausted when I do it. And I'm very cautious of my sleep because I have problem with sleep. So it's like a fine balance when I can't stay late all the evenings, because I can wake up at 3 o'clock or whatever, you know, then it becomes very short nights. So I try to balance that aspect. And of course, sleep is important. If I would say one thing that I recognize.
Yes, I'm with you. Well, now, how do you take that feeling of the balcony nature moment and be able to access that any time of the day?
By being more aware of it, that this is the time to break, maybe to take time off, and maybe do it without doing, maybe like in an automatic manner. Maybe learn to do that more often. Learn that habit instead of, you know, like taking that moment. It could be 2 minutes, it could be 1 minute, it could be whatever minute. You know, it's not like you're going to take half an hour, but take those more maybe in a sequence, in a reoccurrence, like consistency. So I am able to, that I take the habit of it, so it's there when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe build that habit from a healthy moment to use it in the moment where I need it most.
Ah, so healthy moments help with the unhealthy moments. Yes. Yeah. Well, the thing you have said to me you experienced recently was a very physicalized thing, which was wash my hands, downward dog. So there was a physical change that you did in that.
Yeah.
Now with this new habit you're thinking about, what would be potentially a physicalization shift that you could access, just like the one downward dog is so quick to access and do? So in other words, what's a physical change you could make that would use your body, not just your mind?
One is to breathe, you know, is to learn how to breathe more. But this is difficult because sometimes I didn't pick up that habit well. Maybe breathing could be one thing to do, or go into to maybe watch something that is far, you know, that it's not blocking. You know, it's like if I. Again, I love the sea, I love the ocean, because I used to look at it and it's no block. There is nothing that it's no end to it. And maybe this is something that could be to get to learn to do that more often, or to look at that, because I have a view of forest. So it helps as well, that because it's not blocked. Mm-hmm. So it's more to get that.
My sense is, I'm just going to offer it to you.
Is
when you said that you were 10:30 at night standing on your balcony, the sun is shining and you're part of the world there still, I got this sense of like breathing in and this big open arms. I just felt you standing there with this big like in-breath and smile. I don't know. But
yeah.
What's your sense of what would be what's the physicalization for you that may not be it, of that energy that you feel?
It's to feel that I'm part of a big thing, maybe. And to feel like it's that energy that I can inhale. That there is energy from somewhere that I can take it and inhale that energy in. To use it as a, be more aware of what it can give me, and inhale that energy and understand that this is a helper. This is something that can help me. So, you know, just don't take it for granted as breathing, but take it as a, like as you said, like a lot will come in.
How does that feel when you just did that in your body, when you just opened your hands up like that?
It's good.
Yeah. I sense some restriction though still. Did it feel restricted?
Like, maybe I'm not used to do it in that sense. It's just like, you know, but I learned one thing from my son that, you know, like finding Doris, the small fish, and it has a, you know, when Doris forget things, she just said, like, keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming. And sometimes I say it to myself when I get stuck. And maybe this is something to, like, when I do my spinning classes, I said, you know, he asked us to continue to spin, and like, keep on swimming, keep on swimming, keep on swimming, you know, you're almost there. So this a little bit gives me that energy that, you know, you're doing well and move in. And I think it's this, you know, to allow that, you know, more fresh air to come into my, and then use it as a healer.
Mm. You're using the breath so much with your running, with your spinning. There's so much breath work, and it feels to me sometimes like you're not breathing when we're speaking, when you're speaking. It's very shallow.
Yeah.
Versus, I'm sure when you're spinning, you have to breathe deeply.
Yeah.
I've tried it.
It's true.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering for you what you would like to experiment with in terms of physicalization, breath, inhaling, what feels like some things you can take from this session to try out?
I think keep the breathing, inhaling much more deeper, and being more, use it more and trust it, that it will help. So I need to trust it, that it is helping me, because it will help me in other cases. And then do that more, not systematically, but maybe learn that habit of doing it much more deeper, and then it will help out when I feel this suffocation, or just to calm it down and work with it much better. So it's to use the breath more consciously. Mm. I take it to a conscious level.
So with the downward dog, you've got that associated with washing your hands. Mm. What might you associate breathing, inhaling, breathing. Yeah, with, if that helps you?
Yeah, that's a good... either I could associate it with going more, like I work on the balcony maybe, and sometimes what I need to do is adjust the curtains or to do when I get closer to the balcony and do that, because I do have a big, you know, like a big, and maybe every time I get close, I stop there. And I do this, and then I go back to what I was doing, my kitchen as well is overlooking the balcony as well. So I could use some of those moments when I work or when I do something to just lift my head and do it.
Do what?
To do the breathing, to get more conscious about the breathing, and then to breathe in and breathe out, and then continue again, and maybe do that association, you know, like to do the to open up the arms and say, yeah, I welcome you, or
that's a nice addition. I welcome and welcome you.
Yeah,
welcoming what? The breath.
The breath, the fresh energy.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good association. Mm-hmm. How does that, I can see a smile. Yeah. How does that feel?
It feels good with open arms.
Because you've also got something, you said your mind always says something. So you've got something also there to say to your mind.
Mm.
What were the words?
I'm welcoming you.
Yeah, I'm welcoming you. You've got a physicalization to experiment with. And a physical thing in your throat and your chest. It sounds like a pretty holistic, when you consider where you started with the whole mind telling you this and then your throat being like that and then how your body felt, how does this contrast for you and feel?
I think it's the same, the mind, the body, the you know, but then doing different things, triggering different effect rather than the effect of being paralyzed or unsure or insecure. That is triggering an effect of more calm, stillness, and more breathing to keep that breath going. I think it's just turning around the other side of it, which I think it's more healthy. to pass on.
What else do you feel you could experiment with between now and when we speak in 2 weeks?
I will experiment if I'm good as that, as I'm good as the down dog. I think, and if it helps me to overcome this situation where I don't feel good, where I don't get into that, I will do that. I'll do that because I think I will. I think, as you said, if I manage it with a physical, if I associate it with a physical act, you know, like you know, you can turn. I can turn my. My hand backwards.
Oh yeah, you're doing the rotator cuffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm doing it with you. That's good. It feels really good.
If I associate it with this, I think I'll be able to create that a moment where I like I'm welcoming the breath right now, and I do that.
Great! What great work, Christine. It's so fun. So I just have one more thing that keeps popping up into my mind is you said at the very beginning, right at the beginning, you said on a Monday, even though the kids aren't going to school, I feel that future anxiety or that anxiety.
Yeah.
So how would you now approach when you feel that anxiety come up that's not real and it's about something that's not even going to happen? Because the kids aren't going to school right now.
I think I'll first off myself, if this feeling comes, as like just to acknowledge, like this is, it's not reality. It's not there. You shouldn't worry about it. It's just to acknowledge it and directly say, this is not happening. So don't worry about it. It's no. Process it very quickly, and maybe preparing for it, that this is not gonna tomorrow it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be Sunday, it's not, and Monday will be totally different and we will handle it. So it's this feeling of maybe preparing for it as well at the beginning, so I get over it afterwards. Mm-hmm.
And you said you wanted support too as part of this, or that was a key part at times. So what support do you want to ask for?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
I think the support, yeah, I would like to get more clear about that thing that I would need help with on Sunday, and do it early in the day rather than keeping it late in the evening where it gets so much and everybody maybe is tired as well. So to have more of a planning, to have more of an understanding earlier on in the day, that those needs to be done, or this, and don't start something very late. You know, this is maybe I need my own help there, that don't start any project very late on Sunday because I'm time optimistic and I need to do so many things, but I know that it will make me more tired. I think to just get into the point where I understand that I need to rest as well. Because sometimes on Monday I'm more exhausted than on Friday, which I think it's that gives me the notion that I never rested as I should.
Yes.
So this is maybe to be aware more, like don't start something on Sunday evening, just keep maybe an hour of just do nothing in it, to just take care of myself more.
Sounds good. All right, how are you feeling about closing our session? Do you have anything else you want to say or address before we start there?
No, thank you. I think it's, as always, it's a very good process to explore and then to associate things and then put it in action. So I think I really appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Liz, I just wanted to ask you too, whether, because it feels like you've done so much in these last, I don't know, we've had 6-7 sessions or whatever. I'm wondering whether it's a good time to check back with your intake questionnaire at the next session to see whether what progress you've made and what else needs to be adjusted in terms of our coaching moving forward. How does that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll do that.
All right. And I've got a copy too, and we can see whatever you want to talk about there, and then whatever else you want to work on, we can do that as well.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you again, Christine. Wishing you a wonderful evening, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you so much. The same to you. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.